In Deadwood, I learned that a man will risk anything on what he considers to be a good gamble.
Frontier Gentlemen. An Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. In just a moment, we will bring you this latest report from the Frontier Gentleman. Nobody's a stick in the mud where CBS News is concerned. On features like The World Tonight, listeners go right along to wherever the news is happening. Hear eyewitness reports from CBS News overseas correspondents. Enjoy lively interviews with the very people who are making the news night after night, as most of these same CBS radio stations present The World Tonight. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
In my wanderings, I have found that a horse is an indispensable method of transportation. It is true that a great deal of my traveling has been accomplished through the use of riverboat, train, and stagecoach. But these conveyances traverse only a minute portion of the tremendous area which makes up the states and territories of the American West. Therefore, in order that I might not be so completely dependent upon the relative convenience of public transport, I decided to purchase an animal. I learned that there were only two horse dealers of any consequence in Deadwood. My informant was a gentleman named Squatty Reynolds. We had recently met over a beer on Dolan's Good Luck Saloon. He put it this way.
Now, I reckon you want a real Sunday horse, Kendall, not one of them cutback flea-bitten whistlers.
Definitely a Sunday horse.
Well, like I say, there's two horse traders in this here town. One's Fitch Tallman, the other Woolhorse Simmons. They've both got plenty of critters they'll sell you. Of course, I ain't saying one got better than t'other, but if it was me, I'd go down to Woolhorse.
Simmons?
Yeah. He ain't likely to thieve you blind as Fitch Coleman would. You being a tenderfoot and all.
Oh, that's nice to know.
Ain't nothing.
Where would I be likely to find Mr. Simmons?
It ain't but a shortest straddle down the road. Yeah, I ain't got nothing better to do. I'll amble on over with you. Might be I could help you find yourself a copy.
Oh, I'd be most grateful to you.
Want to buy yourself a horse, mister?
That's right.
Well, you come to the right place.
That's what I told him, Woolhaw.
Well, ain't told you the truth, buddy. In fact, what kind of animal you reckon will fit?
Well, there's a decent-looking horse.
What, your own? Oh, no, not less than you plan to do some day herding. He's a turnhead. Kind of a bow-windy, too. No, not him. Now, I got me a real sweet little dun over here. He ain't sizable. Not much over 14-2 hands, but he's a long horse, if that's what you're wanting.
Long?
Now, he'll go, mister, and he'll keep going till you say stop. And you got to say it good and loud.
That's a new one, ain't he, Woolhaw? Don't recollect seeing him around.
Yeah, coming yesterday. Fella sold him sheep to pay poker loss. That, mister, is a lot of horse.
They're rather broad in the beam, wouldn't you say?
You mean the big bottom? Oh, sure, that's the nature of him. You take my word, mister, that's one long horse. I had him out this morning. He's got a fast walk and an easy lope. He'll get you where you're going. Won't give out like a lot of these fancy foot-and-foot Coleman try to sell you.
How much, Woolhaw?
You talking for the man here or for yourself, buddy?
Maybe I've got a hankering.
$50.
I'm afraid that's a little high for me.
Well, what's your offer?
I wouldn't give you 20. I'll tell you straight, Woolhaw.
I ain't asking you, Spotty.
Listen, mister, maybe you'd better go on over and have a look-see at what Fitch Tallman's got.
Now, you shut your mouth, Spotty, or I'll stomp your head in. Trouble is, you don't know a good piece of horse flesh from a hog. This here critter's worth better than 50.
And how come if he's so good you want to sell him?
I'm in the horse trade business. Not no hotel for Bronx, that's how come. Now, mister, I tell you what. You give me $40 for this here horse, and if you ain't satisfied after a week, you bring him back and get your money back.
Well,
come in looking for a horse, and I tell you, he's the best I got.
Oh, Woolhaw, you sure do want to get rid of him. What's the matter? You got a case of worms? Mister, you don't want no cayuse dropping dead under you.
I'm not warning you, Squatty.
Gentlemen, if you'd give me a minute or two to make up my own mind, I'd appreciate it.
Sure you would. He'd just do that.
Easy, boy.
Man's a fool to sell a fine animal of the life for $40.
Man's a bigger fool to buy it.
All right, $40 on condition of the week's trial.
You got a deal, mister. Put it there.
I sure do hate to see a greener get cheated.
You say I cheated him, Squatter?
Well, you ain't going to lose money on the deal, that's for sure.
$40, Mickerson.
You keep a hold on that money, mister. Ain't nobody going to say that Woe hawked him and cheated a man in a hawk to you.
I'm not saying it. He is, which settles the question, since I'm satisfied without agreement.
I apologize to you, mister. I surely do.
Oh, no need to.
Should have gone to Fitch Tallman.
Fitch Tallman, that low-down no-good.
I heard you talking about my pappy, Woe. You better bite down on that tongue of yours, or me and Pap will rip it out of him.
I'm a middling old man, Bill Tallman, but I ain't so old that I can't take care of you and your paw, too. Now, you get out.
If you'll excuse me, gentlemen, I'll take my horse and be going.
You bought a horse for Miss Old Scissor Bill? You bought that horse?
Yes, I bought it.
Yes. And you ain't seen the day that a horse like this was in your stable, Tallman.
Oh, you're darn right, Woe. Unless we're going to use it for bear hunting bait.
Oh, yeah? You want to make a little bet, you fellas?
What kind of a bet?
That there gun's got more guts and gold than anything in Deadwood.
You loco, Woe.
That ain't no bet. That's an old man with a saddle slipping.
You're afraid to bet, sure.
No,
Tallman's a lot of windy gab, sure.
Now, hold on, Woe. You saying that's such a cruel bait what this here poor fella just bought off of you is a better horse than any horse in Deadwood?
Any horse? That's what I'm a-saying.
You want to put money on it.
That's what a bet's for, ain't it?
You want to bet against Lobo?
Oh, if he's going to do that, I'd like a piece of that bet myself.
I said any horse in Deadwood.
How much?
Don't matter to me. Big or as little as you want.
All right. You stay right there, Woe. I'm going to get Pat. I'll be right back.
Now, just one
more. You bandit one herd of sheep too many. Well, even that frog-walking bronc of mine can beat the tar out of this puny critter.
I said any horse, Squatter.
You are going to race my horse?
That's what I'm aiming to do.
Well, you got yourself another bet, Woe. I sure hope you got enough money, because you're going to be betting against everybody in Deadwood. I'm going out to raise me a stake. Ain't no backing out now. And you're a witness, Kendall. So long.
The voice is familiar, but can you remember the name? That's the problem confronting our star-studded panel of experts each Sunday, as most of these same stations present Says Who. Says Who is CBS Radio's fast-moving guessing game with Henry Morgan as host. Add the rapid-fire repartee of Morgan and his panel to the excitement of guessing the identity of the mystery voice, and you've got at least two barrels of fun rolling tonight and every Sunday night on CBS Radio's Says Who.
In Woe Simmons' saddle room, I began to understand why the old man had been goaded into making his bet. At that point, neither of us had any idea of the magnitude of what he had done. He went into great detail concerning the rivalry between his stable and that of Fitch Tallman. The fact that Tallman, without a doubt, possessed the fastest horse in the area. I was sympathetic, but I said, I don't exactly blame you, but I can't see the point in even holding the race.
Well, there's one thing to make it easier for you, Kendall. Sell me back the animal.
And you'll race him yourself?
I figure.
But you know he can't win.
I never said that.
But you do.
For sure, he can't win no short horse race. He ain't that kind. But nobody said nothing about a short race. Now, listen, Kendall. I've been around horses since I can remember. That animal of yours, he's hard like rocks. The cowhand that sold him to me, he told me that that horse can go 30 miles in a day and never be winded. There's that kind of racing, too. That's what I got in mind.
30 miles?
Nearer 300. Deadwood to Cheyenne.
Go on.
That little gun, he won't be fast. But I reckon he can walk the legs off of anything that tries to go against him.
You really think he's that good?
Well, I open my mouth wide enough, he'd better be. It'll cost me all I got if he ain't.
I suppose they won't agree to a race of that distance.
Oh, I ain't worried about that. It's what happens if I lose. It's got me scared.
Why not make a small bet? You can afford that, can't you?
Ain't you got ears, Kendall? I told Bill Tallman I'd bet little or big. Didn't make no difference. Old man Tallman hears that, he's going to make it big. He's been looking for a way to put me out of business for a long time. And this would do it.
How long would it take from here to Cheyenne?
Well, a man knows the right road. Short cuts, 4 or 5 days.
And 60-odd miles a day. That's hard riding. Could a horse stand it?
Well, if he's ridden right, takes it easy. Figure 5 miles an hour, 12 hours a day. Plenty of rest in between, and he can make it. Got to go slow, though.
All right, we'll do it.
You want to ride him?
Why not? He's my horse.
Oh, where are you?
We win, Kendall. I'll split winnings with you. A deal?
A deal.
Ain't no use hiding, you old son of a horse thief.
Who you call a horse thief, you sheep-killing dog?
I ain't no one calls a tall man that. Let's hang up his hide, Tom.
When we get through with him, he won't have no hide left to hang up. He's going to lose his betting.
Yeah, this time that leaky mouth of yours has got you right where I want you, Warhorse Simmons. How much you betting on this here race?
You name it.
Your stable again mine, and every critter to go with it.
$1,000 to the winner.
Now, I want some of them winnings, Fitch.
That all right with you if Spuddy Reynolds enters his horse?
Don't matter to me none.
I'll bet 500.
Five.
Five for me, too. Who are you?
Archer Tom Tallman. He's a cousin.
I got me a Thorough can whoop any horse in these parts.
Not Lobo, we can't.
I'm willing to make side bet with you, Uncle Fitch.
Now, ain't no side bets in this here race. You bet again Woo-Haw, not your own kin.
Just a moment. What about the rules of the race?
Oh, are you the poor mail order cowboy bought that buzzard bait?
Yeah, that's right.
Ain't nothing worse than stringing a greener, but I guess you all got to learn someday. You set the rules, mister. Make no difference to us.
Good. The race starts here, in Deadwood. Ends in Cheyenne.
Oh, man, that's a heap of racing.
Now, today's Thursday. We got 2 days to get ready. Race starts Saturday morning, 6 o'clock. Got to be in Cheyenne no later than next Thursday.
Make that Wednesday midnight.
Right, fair enough. Wednesday midnight.
4 days. 9, 10, 11, 12.
4 days, 18 hours. Anybody comes in after that, loses.
Well, suppose we all come in after that.
Then all bets are off. Nobody wins.
Ain't no horse can make a run like that without proper feed and the like.
Every rider can have somebody along to help. Heifer drives the buckboard carrying feed, bedding, and chuck.
A man can take any route he pleases between here and Cheyenne?
Any he wants. Finish line's at the railroad depot.
You gotta get somebody to ride ahead to Cheyenne to be there at the finish.
Then tell the mayor. He'll go.
Who's riding your nag, Bohaw?
I am. Kendall is the name.
Well, now, which you figure's going to drop dead first, the dude or his horse? Might as well pay up right now, Warhol.
Hey, who's riding your horse, Tommen?
My son is who?
That's right, Pap.
Now, I'll go along with the buckboard.
Uncle Fitch, you reckon you can find me a helper?
Well, sure, Hunter. We'll fix you up.
Well, boys, I'm going out and make me a couple of side bets. It's going to be the easiest money I ever did make.
You're absolutely right, boy.
The fastest runner in town can't hope to keep up with the Mitch Miller Show because every Sunday night, when it comes your way on most of these same stations, the Mitch Miller Show covers that part of the entertainment world that stretches from the bright lights of Broadway to the gleam lights of Hollywood. For another all-out, all-star variety edition of the Mitch Miller Show tonight, join us right here at the Star's Address when Mitch puts out the welcome mat again.
By Friday midnight, almost $80,000 had been bet in Deadwood on the outcome of the race. Gamblers were giving short odds on Fitch Tolman's horse Lobo, slightly longer on Squatty Reynolds' Blue Nose, 6-1 on Cousin Tom Tolman's sorrel Jimmy Go, and, well, the odds on my horse were astronomical. An hour before the start of the race, Warhol Simmons went over our plans. The little dun horse stood quietly by my side.
Now, remember, rain or shine, these mules of mine pulling the buckboard, they're going to do a steady 5 miles every hour. Don't you fret if it takes a little while to come up with me. I want time to scout ahead. There's been some rain south a ways, and maybe I can find better trails for you to ride.
Good.
Now, remember, don't matter what the others do, keep him at a walk. Oh, once in a while, let him lope, but easy. Say, ain't you got a name for the animal?
As a matter of fact, no. What did his last owner call him?
Dog if I know.
Well, I had a horse once in India. His name was Kyber. How would that do?
Well, don't mean much, but it's your horse. Now, I figure you'll race until about noon. That ought to put you still a few miles this side of Wyoming territory. I'll set up camp on the road. Take an hour to rest up, rub down the horse, give him some good feed, and get some grub for yourself.
It seemed as though the entire town of Deadwood was at the starting line to see us off. Then came the starting gun, and the race was begun. The Tormans Bill and Hawker Tom were off in a great swirl of dust. Squatty Reynolds took off at an easier pace, but was soon out of my sight. According to our plan, I walked Kyber for the first 3 or 4 miles, then let him go into an easy lope. I stopped a few times, once to adjust the cinch and again to remove a pebble which had lodged in the pony's shoe, luckily causing no damage. A few minutes before noon, I saw Wohaw Simmons with his buckboard drawn up at the side of the road.
How's it coming?
Oh, fine. You caught a horse.
Yeah, that's what I told you. All right, let's get that saddle off, please.
All right.
Yeah. Hold still, Barnard. Hold still, didn't you?
Any sign of the others?
Well, Swanee Reynolds went through about half hour back. Others got a pretty good start, but that don't mean nothing. They ain't going to do better than 60 miles today. Not without killing the horses, they ain't.
Where do you plan to camp tonight?
Well, kind of depends on how the enemy will hold up. I figure we ought to make Jenny's stockade good enough for the first day.
How far is that?
Well, you've done about 24 or 25 miles since start. Reckon some 30 and a bit to go. When did he take his last water?
There's a creek a mile or two further back.
Well, you didn't give him too much?
Oh, no, no.
That's good. All right. I'll get his oats off on the board. You better get the blanket over him. Don't want him catching cold.
An hour and a half later, I was once more on my way. At one point in the late afternoon, I passed Squatty Reynolds at the Canyon Springs station we were traveling on the main route of the Cheyenne and Black Hills stage line. However, an hour later, he overtook me at the gallop. That night, Wohaw and I camped at Jenny's stockade. Our first day's journey done. Nearly 60 miles from Deadwood.
I tell you, Kendall, we got to keep our eyes skinned, and that's for a fact. Them other boys ain't more than 2 or 3 miles ahead from where I last seen them. Now, they start figuring you for a winner, they won't let it go easy.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of money bet on this race, aside from what Fitz Tallman and me have a personal bet. Tallman's got a big piece coming if he wins. He aims to win. No telling what he'll try to keep us from winning.
I see.
And I'm just telling you, keep your eyes skinned. You better get some shut-eye now, and I'll watch. I want to get a start before dawn.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday night. Although I had maintained Kiber's steady, slow pace, there was no more than 5 miles separating the four of us. We had ridden over 200 miles now, and to this point my horse had shown little effect. On the other hand, I had once again passed Squatty Reynolds on his big roan Blue Nose. He seemed to be limping quite badly. I had not yet caught up with Wohaw's buckboard and the evening camp which we had planned for Chugwater. I stopped to cross a stream, when from the gathering shadows I saw two horsemen approach. I made out the sorrel Jimmy Go and Billy Tolman's jet black Lobo.
How's it going, Kendall?
Very well, thank you. And with you?
All right. Uncle Tom and me, we figured you were close behind. We waited for you.
Yeah, we surely did.
We wanted to have a talk with you before you made camp with old Wohaw.
Oh, ride along with me. We can camp together.
Well, what we got to say ain't for Wohaw's ear, see?
No.
Well, you don't need to bother about the old man. But, Pap, he'll make it worthwhile if you take it real easy and don't try no more to win this here race.
Of course, you ain't going to know how, because that Lobo of Bill's, he's got enough left to run that critter of yours clean under the ground.
So there's no sense you trying, is it? We figured it'd be worth $500 if you quit about now.
Very generous of you, gentlemen, but I must decline your offer. I stand to earn quite a bit more by winning.
But you ain't got a chance.
Yeah, well, we'll just have to try. That's all.
You wouldn't want no accident to happen to that runty nag of yours, would you?
I most certainly wouldn't.
Well, I sure hope it does. Come on, Arthur.
Sure hope that horse don't break its leg.
The next morning, we managed to steal a march on the Tallmans, passing them as they were breaking camp. Wohaw rode along with me for a way in the buckboard.
This is the big one today, Kendall. Don't change the pace. Don't rush him.
I won't.
It's Lobo you got to watch. He's always got something left in the short race, and I'm figuring he'll have it for this one.
What about Jimmy Go and Blue Nose?
Oh, Squatty's through. Jimmy Go won't last. It's that Lobo I'm worried about. You got to save everything for that last mile. I'm going on ahead. Just keep your eyeballs oiled for penny stuff.
Right. We kept plodding on. An hour later, Bill Tallman rode up. He was alone and threw me an angry glance as he passed. I thought his horse was beginning to tire, and so I increased Kyber's pace to a trot. The miles rolled under us. We rested, went on, rested again, and now it was evening. I began to see riders on the road. Some had come out from Cheyenne to bring us in. One called out to me.
That other fellow's not more than a mile ahead. Big black yelled it. Ain't in good shape.
You go get it, boy.
At 11 o'clock, I caught up with Wohaw again. He was riding at 6 miles, waving at me frantically.
Cheyenne's right ahead. 3 miles to the depot.
Where's Tom?
Last I see, maybe half a mile or less. Six is with him. Watch out for dirty business when they try to pass. But wait until the last quarter before you do it. Just keep pushing him. Get him in the last quarter.
Right. We were at the outskirts of Cheyenne proper when we caught up to Lobo. Fitch Coleman was driving his buckboard. He looked over his shoulder, saw me, and shouted to his son.
Get going, boy!
I saw the black horse start to pull away. And in another moment, had myself overtaken the buckboard. I became aware of dozens, then hundreds of people lining the street. I began to gain on Coleman. Slightly at first, then faster, and faster. The depot came into sight. For the first time, I stepped the spurs into the little buckboard. Behind me, I could hear the thunder of the two buckboards. The shouts of encouragement. Then in here, great blaze of light. And we pulled ahead. A length, and two, and three, five. I heard that almost $100,000 changed hands after that race. Wohaw Simmons collected his winnings from Fitz Coleman and is now the sole owner of Simmons Livery and Stables in Deadwood, Dakota Territory. I was content to accept my share in cash, which amounted to a very handsome $2,000, a sum which brought me both luck and some misfortune, of which I shall write more in my next report to the London Times.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Ralph Moody, Jack Moyles, William Allen, Will Wright, and Vic Perrin. Again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentleman. Bud Sewell speaking.